Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Well, good afternoon. Today is March the 7th, and I'm with Scott Patty for another Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin. Good to see you today.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
We had a great Sunday yesterday.
Yes.
There's a lot of, for whatever reason, we have a coffee time at Grace from like 10 to 10:30.
For whatever reason, for the reason of fellowship. That's why. Conversation, get to know people.
What I meant to say, for some reason, I haven't made it to the gathering hall.
Oh, okay. You interrupted yourself.
Yeah. And man, it was so busy and just lots of people.
So you were there yesterday during the time between Sunday school and worship service.
Yeah, and it was so, just lots of new people. And love seeing the teenagers in the gathering hall just hanging out. And
yeah,
it was great.
So they tend to dominate those coffee pots, though. What's up with that?
Hey, man, it's a new day for teenagers. Yeah. Got to take that coffee.
Yeah, well, when you see, like, you know, 10-year-olds up there going after the coffee.
Put a lot of cream and sugar.
We have one sweet young person, I don't know, late elementary, early middle school age. She's probably 10 or 11 years old. I don't know exactly how old this precious little girl is at our church, but she has the courage to look at me and say, "You need snacks here." I'm like, "Well, we're providing a coffee for you, and you know, you got enough sugar and cream in there to give you the calories you're looking for.
We're not trying to feed you to make you sleepy before the sermon.
You need snacks."
Yeah, that's awesome. That'd be something my son would say, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have some cheese pizza out here, then we'd be great.
Yeah, coffee and tea on Sundays. But yes, it's a great time.
It's good.
And seeing a lot of people, you know, get to have conversations. I like that middle time that we call coffee and connection or something like that, because it gives us time to really say hi to people and spend more than a passing, you know, 15 seconds on a Sunday morning. Right. Hi, how are you?
Yeah.
So we get to actually spend some time. It's good.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Well, we were back in John chapter 9. Michael Kelly started John chapter 9, one of our elders, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before that.
Correct.
He talked a lot about suffering.
Yeah.
Because we're in the narrative where Jesus goes and heals a blind man who was blind from birth.
Yeah.
Big conversation. Was it his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus corrects that and says, no, it's for the glory of God, so that the works of God might be revealed. And now we're kind of continuing that man's story in this. So give us a little bit of an overview from Sunday.
Okay. And before I do that, let me back up and talk a bit about when Michael preached, to give everybody a sense of the way we sometimes approach our preaching through a book of the Bible or preaching through larger sections. So as you said, two weeks ago, Michael Kelly introduced John chapter 9. What's happening in John 9 is a man gets healed, and then there's this big conversation between a lot of different people about how they're going to respond to the fact that Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath. And then at the end of the chapter, Jesus comes back and talks about the spiritual significance of the healing. Well, what I did yesterday was give the whole picture. In other words, how the healing itself was a sign that had spiritual significance about spiritual sight that comes at the end of the chapter. But what Michael did was focus only on the miracle and what it said about the issue of suffering.
Right.
And the reason he did that is because the text raises the issue about, is the man's suffering due to his or his parents' sin?
Right.
The reason I say all that is to say that, just to help people, there are a couple of ways that we try to approach it. Is we try to look at what the message is of the passage for the whole book of John and in its context. That's what I did yesterday. Mm-hmm. What is the sign nature of this healing? But then sometimes we also like to take the smaller portions and ask what issues are addressed in the smaller portion that are not necessarily the main message of the overarching book or passage.
Right.
So that's the way we did it. Michael did the suffering part.
Right.
Very good message on suffering. And then I put it back in its total context of the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
And the point was simply this, that the healing of the man who was born blind was a sign that Jesus is here to give spiritually blind people spiritual sight,
right,
to see him and believe and worship. Mm-hmm. And that those who know they're spiritually blind and acknowledge it and turn to Christ and in faith, as the Spirit opens their eyes to see, have life. Mm-hmm. Those who harden themselves and say, we already see, we are already where we need to be, and we don't need Christ, they remain in blindness or darkness. Right. And that was the point of yesterday.
Yeah. I loved when you were preaching about this, is about the spiritual sight, and you see this healing of this man that happens in a moment,
mm-hmm.
but then you see this progression of his spiritual sight through the text.
That's right.
And it's so beautiful. It's like you kind of pull back. And when you were preaching yesterday, I thought, what's the greater miracle here? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just this beautiful parallel thing that's happening, the physical sight, but then he is slowly moving to finally he gets to, I believe
in Jesus.
I believe.
Spiritual sight. And that's the true miracle of the new birth.
Right.
You must be born again.
So yeah. Great. So it's such a, so for those that may be listening to this that weren't there, I'd encourage you to go listen to the sermon, but then it, even open your Bibles to John 9
mm-hmm.
and read this narrative. This is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The question that I want to address, Scott, really has to do with a secondary comment that you made.
Okay.
That I thought may be helpful for us to explore.
Secondary
here.
Comments usually get me in trouble.
Not always. No. I think it probably was in your notes. So it's worse if it wasn't in
That's
your
right.
notes, and then we're maybe going
Tell
down.
Me what the comment was, and I'll tell you if I went rogue.
Okay.
Or...
So we were talking about the Pharisees,
yeah.
and I think it was in context about how the Pharisees were really focused on this was on the Sabbath,
uh-huh.
missing the main point of what was really happening, couldn't celebrate that this man was physically healed, and kind of acting a little bit out of pride and arrogance. And you said just real briefly that now you got to understand that the Pharisees here, the pride and arrogance is probably coming out of a lot of fear. There is fear driving this.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved on.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to come back to that comment
okay.
and ask, how do you see fear in the Pharisees acting out in these ways? Like, what's going on with their fear, which
yeah.
causes it to come out in pride and in arrogance?
Okay. That's a
the
good
Pharisees
question.
Are always intriguing to me, by the
they
way.
They are intriguing because we treat them as bad people, and we shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
They were men who believed that God is real and true mm-hmm. and right and one, and they really for the most part wanted to do what was pleasing to God. They wanted to honor God. They mm-hmm. wanted to honor the law of God. They were very, very concerned for things that we could say are good,
mm-hmm.
the honor of God. Of course, we see, by the way they responded to Jesus and the way they treated people, that something went wrong in
right.
their understanding of their relationship with God. And there have been many people that have weighed in on that, and we don't have time for that, but they begin to understand possibly that the law itself was the point rather than God and the holiness and honor of God. Then as time goes on, corrupt human nature, fallen sinful human nature takes authority and turns it into abuse of power and,
mm-hmm.
you know, that all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, but some of the Pharisees were believers, and we see that because, became believers, we see that because there was a division. Not all of them agreed to, mm-hmm. you know, with the negative assessment of Jesus.
Right.
And then clearly the man, Nicodemus, himself is somebody who's at the end of the Gospels, you know, actually acting on behalf of Jesus.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the bit of the Pharisees. But now your question was about fear.
Right.
Ask it again. Sorry.
Yeah. So you were saying in your sermon that their pride and arrogance
okay.
was really coming out of probably a lot of fear in their hearts.
Yeah.
So what was the fear that you think you see as you read about the Pharisees in the Gospels
okay.
that was causing them to act in this way?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how to be a psychologist here and talk about the nature of fear and what comes out of fear and all that kind of stuff. I will say that if I'm looking at it theologically, mm-hmm. I would say that what resides in the human heart is sin.
Right.
The sin of self. And self-godness, putting self above God. Then out of that, you know, you have things like pride, arrogance, fear. How they always interact yeah. is kind of sometimes hard to tease out. But I will talk about fear because mm-hmm. I do think that these things are very closely related. And so I would think that if you are a religious Pharisee, religious person like the Pharisees were, and you have Jesus coming along and he's saying things that are contrary to what you've mm-hmm. been saying, or he's doing things that are contrary to what you think ought to be done, like doing something on the Sabbath, which was not, Jesus healing on the Sabbath was not a technical break of the law. It was just a traditional thing that had grown up around the Sabbath that they thought interpreted as a break of the law. Well, that means if Jesus is doing that and he's right, that means you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And the fear of being wrong is powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like, oh no, what if I'm wrong?
Right.
Well, as a follower of Christ, as a Christian, I can say, well, I am wrong a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Now, I still don't like it.
Right.
You know, it's wounding to my pride. It creates fear in me to, oh, what if I'm wrong? That means I'm undone. That means I'm not right. That means I'm boom, boom, boom. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I mean, there's only one right one.
Right.
Yeah. His name is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he took my sin on himself. And if I'm wrong, I'm still in him. He can, he'll cleanse me. Mm-hmm. But fear, you see, fear of being wrong.
It's the fear of being wrong.
Yeah, because it makes us feel like we're somehow then undone before God. Mm-hmm. And without Christ, I mean, these people were, but we need to watch that. I would say related to that is the fear of losing control. Hmm. You know, here Jesus is, he comes along preaching and teaching, and the multitudes are listening. And one of the things it seems that that the Pharisees were doing was they were making sure that the multitudes stayed in line.
Yeah.
Or they were making sure that people stayed in line, that they did what they were supposed to do, and they used power to do it. You know, like they could kick a guy out of the synagogue or out of the temple. They could excommunicate him, do something to him, like they did with this blind man. They could do something to him. Because so there's a sense then that you have, you know, when you're right and you're the ones in charge, you've got to control. And here Jesus comes along and he's threatening that sense of control.
Yeah.
I would think that would create a bunch of fear.
Right, yeah.
And reaction. And then I guess I would say a third one would be, you know, if you're wrong, if you learn you're wrong about something and you kind of feel like you're out of control of other people, mm-hmm. then you're not quite sure about your future.
Right.
And that can create fear.
Yeah.
An unknown future. You know, is am I going to be okay in the future?
Right.
Is our group, you know, our people, are we going to be okay? You know, how's this going to play out? I think those are probably some fears. No, go ahead. You're going to ask.
Well, I was going to say, because when a lot of times when maybe when I was a young Christian reading the Bible mm-hmm. for the first time, I would put the Pharisees in its own category mm-hmm. and say things like, well, I'm glad I'm not like them because they're crazy. but the more that you drill down on what you just did, I go, oh,
yeah,
the same problems that they deal with mm-hmm. are the same things that can creep into my own heart.
Yeah.
So I think as we hear what you just said, the fear of being wrong, the fear of losing control, and the fear of the future, how would you help us who could be prone to that very same fear?
Mm-hmm. I think remembering that a Pharisaical spirit has a lot of fear to it.
Right.
And so that you're just aware. So, you know, you talk about how you saw it when you were younger. When I was younger, you know, I learned to think of a Pharisaical spirit as, you know, a legalistic, tightly following the rules. Which is maybe true, but the point is I never understood the kind of heart that drove that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just they were just kind of like that was the way they were. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody's just the way they were. I mean, mm-hmm. everybody's driven by something, and so you know, just paying attention to the heart underneath that Pharisaical spirit. Mm-hmm. You know, the pride, the fear, the way pride and fear work together. Mm-hmm. So that in our hearts we can be people who run to grace and not run to law, mm-hmm. you know, or self-righteousness or control or, you know, overly critical, condemning of other people. You know, mm-hmm. we go to the grace of Christ because yeah. when we're not letting our fear drive us or our pride drive us. I would say that.
Yeah.
One other thing I'd say too is just is making sure we're not miscommunicating. Concern is healthy.
Right.
You know, here's an example. You take the Apostle Paul. He was very concerned
right.
about the future of the church.
Yeah.
And so, but rather than living out of fear and always having to be right or remain in tight-fisted control or fearing the future, if you think about Paul, he discipled for the next generation.
Yeah.
Because he was concerned. Mm-hmm. He taught biblical truth, doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he advanced the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
He ordered church life
yeah.
out of concern.
Right.
So I wouldn't want people to think that, you know, to not be fearful in these ways means you just don't do anything because yeah. you're just, you know, peaceful, right. easy feeling. There is concern that's godly and good that moves us to right action
right.
that we need to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need to be pharisaical about it the way the Pharisees were.
Right.
But I guess more apostolic, that's yeah. not the right word, I just made that up, but yeah. more more carrying out the work right. of the apostles,
right?
Which is truth, love, mm-hmm. the goal of our instruction is love,
yeah,
that, you know, the gospel.
And I think, too, you know, we've talked about this a lot at Grace, but where as Christians we can be honest with our own heart,
mm-hmm.
maybe where we're falling short, because we've been forgiven. So
yeah.
we can say, you know. So I think about the first thing, fear of being wrong. And I think we can be okay with saying, hey, maybe I need to stop and pause and say, well, where am I wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm wrong there.
Yeah.
I need to admit that and move on. You know, it's mm-hmm. okay to admit wrong because I have a God who's mm-hmm. who's with me and a God I can trust. And so I think that's helpful for me to see that as we walk through this fear and we walk through the fear of being wrong, that we can be a people who are humble yeah. and honest
yeah.
because we're forgiven.
That's right.
And it moves us in a good direction.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Hopefully we can begin to think about fear in our own lives and yeah. maybe where it's driving mm-hmm. us and how we can come to the Lord in that. Mm-hmm. And again, have good concern, but allow it to move us in a direction mm-hmm. that would be about building and encouraging the church mm-hmm. and lifting mm-hmm. it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. And I'm guessing we'll be in...
Speaking of fear, next week we move into John 10, mm-hmm. the Good Shepherd. There's so much in John 10. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Let's pray for our time in John 10.
Good. Look forward to it. Yeah.